Hello, welcome to this week's edition of the Infield Chatter podcast. Unfortunately, I'm back this week. I'm sure you're all very, very sad about that. Also sad is that Devin is, by his admission, stuck in traffic. So it's another dual, I wish I had thought of a snappier name, but it's a dual person podcast again with me and Soko here.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you feeling tonight, Tim? Soko, whatever.
I'm okay, I suppose. Yeah, you know, it's the end of the weekend, so that's a thing. But, yeah, I don't know. It's been a busy week for me, so I know that the Diamondbacks got swept, and then they swept, and there was almost a no-hitter, and that's about the extent of my knowledge, so I'm going to be winging it.
Yeah, I was also busy last week, if you care, which you don't, but I'm going to fill time right now. I work at a theater, and this week we were loading out one show and loading in another, which... On the one hand is, woohoo, extra hours, woohoo, I'm going to go get some hookers at tequila, woohoo. But it's also, one, very stressful, and two, precludes me from watching Diamondbacks games more often than not. So, yeah, we're sort of flying blind right now, which is fun? Question mark?
Probably not much different than our normal shtick.
Yeah, we'll just speak in, you know, vague terms rather than specific, so...
Right.
Not that you would be able to tell the difference, dear listener. That's not an insult to the listener. That's an insult to us.
I guarantee there will be the same high level of research as all previous episodes.
Yep. But, yeah, when I asked for questions in the GDT, they were all about, how come we can't get some of the Dodgers when they get the Giants team? It's, you know, that's how it sounds in my head. which all I can say is this actually goes to a larger point that I was sort of thinking of, is that sometimes teams are just good against some teams and bad against others. It, you know, happens. It's less so in baseball than it's especially like football or soccer or something. But sometimes just. A style of play just helps one team do well or poorly against another, and yeah, it's just nothing. It's just sort of how it is. It's also why, as fun as it is, using the transitive property, you know, if team A beats team B, then team A can beat team C. It's kind of not really a good method of analysis in like any sport.
Yeah. It's not really a good level of analysis for a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of going away from baseball, but you see it all the time in, like, football.
Yes.
Because, like, team A beats team B, but somehow, and team B beats team C, but somehow team C beats team A. You can follow along in your head of that. And they're like, oh, what happened? Is it a fluke? It's like, well, you know, team A might be... You know, one offensive style of play and one defensive style of play, which matches up really well against Team B, but Team C plays, like, you know, some weird spread and 3-4 defense that really goes well against Team A, so, yeah.
Or even just that football schedules are so short that it's hard to attach a lot of meaning on any one game or result. But... To bring this back to the question in baseball, Dodgers are kind of really good, so you hope you win one of them, but I'm not really shocked either, so I don't know what people were expecting.
Yeah, on the same token, the Giants are kind of playing like ass right now, so...
Right.
What can you do?
And they're scared of Paul Goldschmidt, so that's a pretty big factor.
Yeah, they're in their heads. But it is sort of, you know, you get... Three games against the Dodgers on the road, yeah, that's not easy, but you avoid Kershaw and Greinke for both of them, but you still, you know, lose, which is like, oh, that's not great, but, hey, what can you do?
Nothing, we're fans.
Yeah, we have no power over anything whatsoever.
Nope.
So, yes, I am going to mention that pitcher whoever has a no-hitter going, because I have no control. Illusion, or control is illusion, free will is a lie. Trust no one. Moving on. We kind of covered the Trumbo trade last week, by we, I mean not me, but I kind of wanted to add in a thing I sort of noticed about it, sort of outside media, attention-wise, which is not something I really give credence to, and I'm not, but this is just something I noticed and I thought would be interesting to remark upon, as one does. But there was generally two camps of trade analysis for that trade. The first being, okay, Trumbo wasn't really worth much to the Diamondbacks, so they got sort of a minimal return. And then the other one was, and coming from, you know, a lot of people, was, lol, D-backs, dingers, Z, exclamation point, 111, etc. Which is kind of interesting to me. There are people out there who consider Trumbo a very valuable commodity, which is weird to me, because a lot of the same people were probably, like, panning the initial trade for him, rightfully so, I should say. But it might just be a case of, well, lol, D-backs, because they did something, which is a whole other thing. But right now, Mark Trumbo is hitting 162, 162, 162. That is six hits in 37 at-bats in Seattle right now. So, yeah, I'm not surprised about that.
No, I don't think anyone really should be surprised, except maybe the Mariners.
That occasional power doesn't play well in that park? Who knew? Hmm. Yes, just going to sip my tea right now. But yeah, that's, I mean, I wasn't here last week, so I kind of wanted to throw that in. Just as a sort of quote.
Yeah, I mean, asking for really intelligent analysis, even from people that's generally their shtick, is probably a losing cause, just simply because people have biases and they accept narratives, and that's just the way human behavior works, and I'm not saying that I'm above it, even if I am,
because
I'm awesome.
Nobody's really above it, you just gotta sort of recognize.
Yeah.
Better recognize.
But I feel like, generally speaking, the coverage of the Diamondbacks has been universally negative. Some of it self-inflicted, and some of it just sort of that steamrolling effect where...
It's like inertia from the Kevin Towers era.
Yeah, it's like, this is easy. Mm-hmm. The Diamondbacks are stupid. They just did something. It must be stupid. Never mind that, you know, one of the guys we traded for, Guerrero, is actually supposed to be a pretty good prospect. Maybe he won't actually turn out, but that's what prospects generally are.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, you even see some national writers that not that long ago were singing this guy's praises, then he gets packaged in a Trumbo deal, and LOL.
Well, I think to be somewhat fair, he's been struggling a little, but it's his first season at Double A, and he's pretty
right.
young, so it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. There's time to sort of turn it around. And you can't really write someone off, like, at all, just after, like, two bad months of whatever. Just, that's just not good. That's just not smart.
No, it's not.
Nope. Not once.
But people are going to do it anyways, because you got to hit that media cycle. Got to get those clicks.
Got to get them clicks.
Yep.
But I guess, like, I just wait for the day. It's like, Dave Stewart cured cancer? Lol.
What an idiot.
Yeah. He should have cured Cliff Pennington's contract instead.
Ooh. In his face.
Ooh, someone get the aloe vera, because that was a bird. Mic drop.
I mean, at least there's some sort of internal consistency for some of these people, mm-hmm. as opposed to, like, even just reading the, front page coverage for, again, to switch sports coverage, but reading the SSB Nation front page for the NBA Finals, and it was like, first game, Warriors win it in overtime, but Kyrie Irving goes out,
And there was this kind of just feeling of like, well, the Cavs are just going to basically get swept. And then the Cavs win the next two games, and then there were all these sort of like, what's going wrong with the Warriors? And then they win one game, and it switches back to, well, the Warriors are doing perfect again.
Yeah, I think it's just, I would wager that you could probably swing a cat around at any NBA coverage and find a similar sort of thing. Well, I mean, that's just well documented. But yeah, it's just, it's just when you go through small sample sizes,
right?
You just can't let the tide sort of take you. You have to, because you could have some universal truths if we're talking about that. Like LeBron James is pretty good. Some guys on the Cavaliers also had some really good games because they're capable of it. Maybe not consistently. The Warriors are also really good, and same thing. It's like, yeah. But yeah, there was a weird media coverage to annoy that one guy, the Australian guy, Delanova.
Delanova?
Yeah, like, as sort of like the second coming of,
Bruce Bowen?
Yeah. I hate Bruce Bowen so much.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is inevitably the problem with content.
Oh, yeah.
And chasing clicks, because especially in a final situation where you have at least a day off, if not a couple between games, you got to fill that space somehow. You got to write about something.
Yeah.
So then you get these sort of weird back and forth positions.
If it was like you have, and it's coming from, you know, sort of the same writers too. If you had like one writer who was consistently sort of on one tack and another on another tack,
right?
That'd be one thing, because, you know, you got to hear both sides and get two different perspectives, and that is interesting sometimes. But yeah, it's just, you know, added plot stuff. So that's why, you know, sometimes you see in like a game day thread, just to shift a little back to baseball, you know, someone like has an 0-for-3 game after, you know, after having like a 6-game hitting streak, and it's like, oh boy, so and so's about to go in a slump. It's gonna be ugly. It's like, yes, that could happen, but really, really, you gotta do that? You gotta do that, pal? It's okay. You need a hug? Shh, I'm here. Huggy, hug it out. Huggy, huggy, huggy. Life's okay. Life's okay. Shh. It'll all be over soon. That turned to condescending to creepy, like.
it was a very quick transition.
Yeah, like, it was a very, very sharp left turn. Let's look ahead a little bit to next week at Diamondbacksdom, between this episode and whenever we record the next episode, as Dr. Dre Snoop Dogg once said, because that song was about podcasting.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
True story. And on a random tangent, and while I looked up the Diamondbacks schedule, in Tucson, we recently got one of the weird poppy jukebox stations, like FM stations, turned into a classic hip-hop jukebox FM station, which is pretty much the best thing ever now.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're down here for whatever reason, that probably involves a ransom demand, 97.5. Anyway, okay, got the Diamondbacks site loaded. So next week, there is a very weird section. Tomorrow and Tuesday, the Diamondbacks are in Anaheim to take on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in Ventura County and possibly Sacramento. And then... those guys come to Phoenix to face the Arizona Diamondbacks of Arizona and Phoenix and Central
Maricopa County,
Central Phoenix to be specific. But if the
downtown,
yeah, I always think of it as Central just because Chase Field is sort of in the middle of that like 4 freeway. You know what I'm talking about? That sort of
the freeway loop. It's designed that way because it is the downtown area, but I would consider Central Phoenix maybe to be a little bit more north of that, more like Midtown.
Fair enough. But I was going to say, the Diamondbacks use the Angels naming conventions. They would be the They would be the Scottsdale Diamondbacks of Arizona in Glendale.
Scottsdale Diamondbacks of Phoenix.
Of Phoenix, yeah.
Maricopa County.
Yeah. Or, you know...
Maybe Coyotes should try that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they went more general, and then...
And then womp, womp, womp.
Whoops. That's, stop trying to make Glendale happen, Gretchen.
That's what I've been trying to tell people. Yeah. Ain't no reason to go out there.
It's like, hey, let's build out here a lot. There's no way that housing is ever going to collapse.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've been kind of, over the past couple of years, on and off researching how Chase Field got built, because I find it interesting, even though I will probably never write about it, or if I do, I'll never release it, because no one else is going to care. But at one time, there was a plan, like an alternate plan, instead of building it downtown, to build it out in Glendale.
Ugh.
So imagine how terrible that would have been.
That sounds like the worst. I mean...
Yeah.
I figure you want to build... I'm obviously not a Phoenix expert, but, you know, I've been there enough times driven around to know, like, you want to build stuff either downtown or if you really have to, like, you know, like Scottsdale or something.
Like, to me, it seems like the perfect location. There's tons of space. Now, some of it's the reservation, so you would have to work with the tribal communities. Mm-hmm. But some of it is in North Tempe, South Scottsdale, so you would just need to clear out some stuff in, like, the McDowell Corridor area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Basically where the 101 and the 202 meet, mm-hmm. or the northern part of it around northern Tempe, mm-hmm. there's a crap ton of space, mm-hmm. and you would be close to Mesa,
yeah.
Chandler, Gilbert, Scottsdale, Ahwatukee.
Phoenix proper, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Arcadia and the southern, southeast parts of Phoenix. So it wouldn't be particularly accessible to, say, Peoria and Glendale, but screw them.
But Peoria and Glendale are not accessible to other people, so...
Right, and it, no offense to them. I bet, I'd be willing to bet, the same way that the Braves looked at their season ticket holders or where people are actually buying their tickets from, I'd be willing to bet that if the Diamondbacks did the same thing, a lot of their ticket buyers are coming from the east side. Maybe not specifically Scottsdale, because Scottsdale only has, you know, a few hundred thousand people, but I bet it would be Scottsdale, Gilbert, Chandler, Mesa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a crap ton of people, and there's a decent amount of money.
Yeah. It's just so weird. It's like, the Cardinals can kind of get away with building that stadium in Glendale, because it's only used
right
8 to 10 times a year for whatever, but... Yeah, a regular thing like the Coyotes, for a single-use arena, too, you know, it's just...
Not a good idea. And it would be even worse for baseball, trying to fill that thing every single night.
Oh, God, yeah.
It would be like the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah.
And then we'd have to endure op-ed after op-ed about our attendance problem and... Maybe they should just move them to Pinal County or
Pinal.
I don't know.
The Casa Grande Diamondbacks.
The Apache Junction Diamondbacks.
Woohoo! Strip malls all around the stadium. and outlet malls. That's what I meant to say. But strip malls works too for both of those places.
Yeah. Really do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, when you think about it, the original Diamondbacks team, even the one that won the World Series, are kind of like outlet baseball teams.
Kind of, yeah.
They're full of older styles that were... Not all of them were on discount, because they did have a high payroll, but still.
Yeah.
The analogy kind of works in my head. I'm going with it.
Oh, yeah, just drive that train through that stop sign. But, yeah, thankfully, when the Angels come to town, segue... it will be in downtown Phoenix. Any thoughts on that sort of set of series, I guess you should say? It's sort of one big four-game series, but not at the same time.
Yeah, it's that weird four-game split that they've done with us the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I think it was the Rangers, or maybe it's been the past couple of years. They've done that with the Rangers, where they'll do two games, and then two games in the other place.
So that's a bit weird, but otherwise, probably the only thing that I'm half excited about is, of course, Mike Trout, because he's a good player.
Yeah, Mike Trout is one of those players that you stop what you're doing to go see, which, of course, I can't because of money, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, and he's not a total jerk. You know, he's a great player, and he might be a jerk privately or secretly, but I don't think it's something that is necessarily well known if he is.
Yeah.
Unlike, say, you know, Barry Bonds comes to town when he was breaking all those home run records. Mm-hmm. He was easy to hate.
Yeah, like guys like, you know, it's easy to vilify guys like Barry. Well, Barry Bonds was and is a complete douche nozzle in many ways, but damn could he hit a baseball. And Alex Rodriguez, like, he's just weird.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not like, he hasn't, other than maybe like that one play in the ALCS a decade ago where he tried to slap that ball out of Bronson Arroyo's hand, he hasn't really done anything too, like, dirtbaggy. I mean, if you...
Well, Barry Bonds never really did anything dirtbaggy on the field. He just had a reputation for being a jerk to journalists and fans and not wanting to sign autographs unless it was in a controlled situation where he was going to get paid.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of stuff. And, you know, if you look at his background, it makes sense. Really great. But at the same time, it's still a bit like, like, if you don't like giving out autographs, I can understand that. Or if you're shy or you don't like interacting with people, then that's fine. But it always came across for him, and he would, as far as I recall, would explain it as basically being like, I don't want to sign autographs unless it's at a show or I'm getting paid for it, because then it just devalues my autograph.
Yeah. And
which, if you want to go out and make money, fine. And I guess I shouldn't feel too bad about it. But that's one of those hypocrisy of a sports fan where you feel like, why would you do that? Even though if I was in the position. Yeah, Grace. If I was in that position, of course I'm going to maximize my revenue.
Yeah, it's just capitalism, yo.
Or it's just, I mean, you have potentially a short career ahead of you. What if you're Bo Jackson?
Yeah.
You know, where you have some good years and then it comes crashing down because play for the stupid Raiders. I don't really remember how he got injured. Was it in football or was it on the baseball field? He crashed into the outfield wall?
Bo Jackson.
I don't remember. I want to feel like it was on the football field.
Bo Jackson injury YouTube video looks like football players.
Yep. But, you know, you never know in Oakland.
Yeah. I'm just sort of framing through this video. He gets a handoff, goes to the right, gets tackled, stays on the ground a bit. That
was football injury.
Yeah. Yeah, which makes sense. Because, you know, not our fault. He was a good man.
Yeah, I mean, and he's another guy who's kind of, you know, put his interests in a lot of business interests and been able to escape what a lot of times players, if they have a short career, then they don't get a chance to earn as much as other players, and then it all goes away and they get sucked into a cycle of bankruptcy. And he seems to have been able to avoid that because he's a savvy business guy. But
and he was on the, I want to say, short-lived cartoon series Pro Stars. Do you remember that?
I do not.
It was a cartoon wherein it was Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, and Bo Jackson. So between three people, you covered the four major American sports.
Okay.
They basically fought crime.
What? Fighting crime and helping children and protecting the environment as well.
Yes. I can't make this shit up. It was a real thing. I remember watching it. Obviously, I think during the cartoon, they were voiced by different people, but they had little, like, at commercial breaks and stuff, little hits of, like, the three of them just, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll link to the intro of that in the post, because it is amazing. From what I recall, it might, I don't remember anything else about the show, but yeah. Anyway, the Angels. My opinion on them.
What is there to say about the Angels?
Artie Moreno's kind of a dirtbag, and I'm sorry the rest of the world because he made his fortune creating billboards in Tucson.
And he also went to U of A?
Yeah. Which, you know, I didn't like a lot of people I went to U of A with, so it's not like...
Yeah, no, I mean, it's yeah. every college has some people that are good successes and good people, and then you have dirtbags and everything in between. So don't believe the hype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is also one of those things the same way when I hear something about an ASU person that does something stupid, you kind of cringe a little bit, where you're like,
But U of A's most famous alumni currently is Rob Gronkowski, so...
Yeah.
He's like out ASU'd. And I'm using...
He's...
Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm using
If you believe the stereotype...
Exactly. I was using...
ASU, Rob Gronkowski is like total ASU.
Yeah, I was using finger quotes there because...
Yeah. If you are like totally... If you totally Steve into the U of A ASU rivalry...
The narrative of it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this party school, and oh, this... It's funny because, like... You know, U of A is a college, but, like, in the context of U of A, it's always portrayed as, like, the sort of more straight-laced, smarter school, which is, like, I mean, not really. It's still a university in Arizona, and people like to get lit.
Yeah.
I went there.
It's a silly thing for a couple of reasons. One being that all three of the state schools have to have the same standards to get in.
Exactly.
So to even suggest that one has better standards is a bit silly.
I mean, ASU is bigger than U of A. That's about it.
Yeah, because it's in a bigger city.
Yeah.
And then the second thing being that the shock of, you know, going into Casablanca and being like, I'm shocked that there's gambling going on here.
Yeah.
Of course, a large state school, a large any school, is going to have partying. And then the third point being that why do we even feel like we need to shame people for partying in the first place?
Yeah.
Like, if they're going to school and they're getting their degree and they're yada, 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 and you can't really predict at that point whether they're going to be successful, but a lot of them probably are not, like, total dirtbags afterwards. Mm-hmm. So... In what manner am I supposed to care that any kid, any 20-year-old, is getting out there and getting lit?
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're not hurting other people.
Oh, yeah, totally. Which can be a problem in college situations, but that's
deeper. It's definitely a concern.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if they're doing it in a responsible manner, which I know is too much to ask for 20-year-olds, but, you know, that just gets back to the whole narrative crap where it's like, it's a weird Puritan ideal of what education is supposed to be, that you go there and you study, and you treat it like a job, and then you get that perfect internship, and then you get the perfect job, and...
Then you get a wife and three kids, a nice house in the suburbs, and...
Right, and then you vote to defund education consistently year after year.
Oh, snap.
When... In reality, even at the most, you know, the most exclusive, the top schools, there's going to be partying because kids like to party, adults like to party, everybody likes to party.
Yeah. Big if true.
Yep.
I'll have to confirm that, but yeah. Anyway, so other than the Angels this week, the Diamondbacks will face the San Diego Padres Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Oh, and then an off day Monday. Yay, I get to not recap. Anyway, Jim loves my work ethic, I bet.
Yeah.
So the Padres at current are 32-32, I believe. But at the time we're recording this right now, which is about 4:48 p.m., so behind a looking glass. They are in extra innings with the Dodgers in San Diego. But they're hovering around 500, and in fact, right now the Diamondbacks are only a game behind them. Padres are 5 back of the Dodgers, Diamondbacks are 6 back. My leading question is, maybe we should stop buying into teams that just do a lot of booze for the hell of it, huh? Question mark.
Yeah. I mean, at least if they're hovering around 500, they still have the opportunity. You know, you maintain that, and then maybe at the end of the year you make a push, you get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it does show, if the Diamondbacks are only a game behind them, and they didn't really do anything except kind of try to shed assets, mm-hmm. or at least expensive non-assets, mm-hmm. that it is a bit silly to just look at it as on a transaction basis and say, well, the Padres brought in all these guys that we've heard of.
Oh, yes.
So therefore, they must have done something
it's movement for the sake of movement.
Right.
Well, which, to be fair, them hovering around 500 is, you know, sort of better performance than you would expect from them, considering their, you know, past few years.
Yeah.
When they were, you know, I would say consistently, like, anywhere from like 15 to like 7 games of below 500 for a season, something like that.
That could be true.
Yeah, but they still don't have that great of an infield, just offensively and defensively. And actually, defensively, their shiny new outfield is what's the word I'm looking for? Crap.
Total crap.
Like from a butt.
Butts. Professionals.
Hee-hee. We're two of the longest-tenured writers on this site. The third one stuck in traffic.
You're welcome, Jim.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's... sort of know what the Padres are, and... they might be a team that, you know, maybe this year is sort of a springboard into, okay, we could fix, like, our middle infield next year, get some more starting pitching depth, et cetera, et cetera. But right now, they're just sort of 2012, 2013 Diamondbacks in it. Where, like, there's good things there, but it's, like, it's not just coming together.
Right. And depending on their balance sheet, you know, mm-hmm. because they increased their payroll pretty significantly, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. They took on a lot of camp salary, and they signed James Shields. Justin Upton is in his last year, so, you know, that might be shed.
Right. Even in theory, can let that walk.
Yeah. And, you know, they probably will let that walk because, you know, Upton is probably going to be one of the more sought after free agents hitting wise this fall. You have to imagine, so I'll drive the market up for him. And a team like, say, hell, the Yankees, who need good outfield bats, would probably be like, here, Blake, check. So, mm-hmm. but you know, it'll be interesting to see what Preller does with another offseason. But right now, there's still very visible flaws, which, you know, could be corrected. But at the same time, yeah, they did a lot of inertia, but when was the last time, like, you felt like the Padres sort of, like, did anything, like, at all, like, instead of just, like, existing and just being there. And I imagine a lot of Padres fans.
Well, kind of the trendy pick, I feel like, to be the sleeper pick the last few years, and then that doesn't pan out, they end up, you know, near the bottom of the standings again. So, I feel like people have wanted them to, and then they just never, ever do it. So, really, the last time that they were particularly relevant probably was 2007 when they missed out on the playoffs.
Yeah, they had a good year. They had a good year in 2010, but they kind of choked away the division to the Giants, thus starting that whole bullshit. But yeah, I don't know. It's just I always felt like even kind of this year, the Padres were always just sort of like, yeah, they're a division rival of my favorite team, but I was just sort of like, man, like. I don't really have as strong feelings about them as I do, say, the other NL West teams. They're just kind of like, they exist, and they don't really make any waves. I don't really offend anyone too much on the team side, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Probably their biggest wave, it felt like, was a couple years ago. Ironically, the same year the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers got into their Donnybrook.
Oh, yes.
But earlier that year, the Padres and Dodgers got into it, which almost makes you wonder if the recurring theme here is that the Dodgers are kind of dicks.
The recurring theme there is actually Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, you know, someone's a jerk to you once, then you probably just ran into a jerk. But if you're running into jerks all the time,
yeah,
it's you, Zach Greinke. It's you.
Yeah.
But narrative.
See, Eric Hinsky hurt Puig's fist, so...
Yes, with his face.
Which, to be fair, that is a hell of a face.
Yeah, you know, it's likely, actually.
Yeah.
So we have to give that one to the commissioner.
It's, I mean... If you were just to see still images of that, you know, it totally makes sense.
Yep.
Totally, totally. So, yeah. Two Southern California teams. But looking ahead at the schedule, we are pretty much back into, oh, hey, division rival crap for pretty much up until the All-Star break with, like, one series against the Mets and two other games against the Rangers, which... Unbalanced schedule. How does that make you feel right now?
I don't know. Like, I know why they do it, but you have to play your division a lot anyway, so I guess it doesn't really matter when it pops up. But it does get a little bit annoying when it's just block after block after block of it.
Yeah.
But you gotta play them anyway, so
yeah,
whatever.
Hashtag lols.
Hashtag lizard truth.
Hashtag lizard people. Hashtag Illuminati. Hashtag... I don't know.
Hashtag... I don't know.
420! Yeah.
Hashtag Pony Dome.
I guess something we could kind of talk about, even though this is not really our area of expertise, but I want to try to add like 3 more minutes to the podcast. I mean, this is really important to talk about. The draft.
Do you really have any area of expertise?
There are some things we know more about than others, I would say.
I think there are some things we can sass more about. Yes. That is true.
The draft happened last week, which only kind of touch on, because the prophecy came true, and Dansby Swanson, who is not a dot-com billionaire living on a yacht, he is a shortstop, he was the first overall pick, the second ever in Diamondbacks history. Will he be good? Hell if I know. Actually, that leads me to a sort of, weird thing. It is funny to me... Really funny to me to see people get bent out of shape over MLB draft picks, especially mid to late round ones, because it's like, you have no idea if this person's going to be any good for like a year or two, and you know, it's going to be like 3 or 4 years before you even see them in the majors. So what the hell is wrong with you?
Right. You really don't know
for
3 or 4 years, if not more,
mm-hmm.
depending on whether they were drafted out of high school or not.
Yeah.
So... What is the point of the outrage?
It's I saw this tweet. I don't remember who to attribute it to, but it's basically like the MLB draft, where fans get mad that they drafted one player that they'd never seen play before instead of another player who they'd never seen play before.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because at least with college baseball or basketball and college football, you can kind of pretend that you've seen these players, even though you probably really haven't.
Yeah, like...
Especially when you're talking about high school players. Mm-hmm. Unless you're just a super creep.
Yeah.
You ain't seen these players play.
Yeah, that's... It's like, oh, I saw a 3-minute YouTube video. I know all about him. A 3-minute YouTube video of very carefully curated highlights
right.
to make him look good, too, so...
Right.
But, you know, generally it seems like, you know, scouting departments... know what they're doing, because I figure if you take all 30 teams in all their draft classes, there's at least like one, probably two guys there who are at the very least vaguely competent major leaguers at one time.
You know? Right.
You know, whether that's like the first round or the 15th round or, you know, whatever the hell. But, yeah, just, it just seems very weird. I mean, the only thing you could say is like, oh, this team drafted a lot of this type of player, like outfielders or pitchers or whatever, but it's like...
It would be like Oscar viewers getting bent out of shape about, like, the short film categories.
Yeah.
Or even worse, because they may have seen these movies, the technical categories, where they're like, that totally shouldn't have won sound editing! They have, like, no freaking clue what sound editing actually is.
Because whatever you think sound editing is, there's a lot more to it, because...
Right.
And especially if you're doing it in freaking movies. I mean, it's hard enough to do it for, like, live stage shows. Yeah. I'm kind of projecting work stuff right onto here right now, but I know what I'm talking about. Basically, editing this podcast is probably the easiest sound editing I've ever done. And it still takes me, like, a really long time sometimes. So you think about that, you hypothetical straw man Oscar viewer. You go to hell. So next week, it'll be just me and Devin, and Soko will, I don't know, have fencing lessons, because that's how this works now. See you next week!
Let's just pause for a little bit, okay. Simply because the pizza's here.
Sure.
So I'm muting.